The scripture today is from Revelation, the multitude from every nation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, and from all tribes, and all people, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hand. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and around the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and whispered God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white? And where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the spring of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Merciful God, as we are here this morning, we're all the same to you. We see so many differences, but you love us all for who we are. May your word truly speak to us this morning in these difficult times of conflict and division. May your Holy Spirit prepare our hearts to be open for the message you have for us. And if there's anything that might harden our hearts or be in the way, would you please remove it from us in this moment? We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Most Americans will go to the polls on Tuesday. And this election season, maybe more so than other seasons, has been characterized by heated rhetoric and a very divided America. And I, of course, want to encourage all of you to go vote, but I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, okay? It's none of my business. But I want you to know that I love and respect all of you, regardless of your political views or affiliation. But over the last few weeks, I've used some stories from the Bible to remind us that God, who created us, loves and sees all of us in our full humanity. We tend to have assumptions about other people, and we think they should all be, you know, like me, or have the same views about many things. And those assumptions can really prevent us from seeing other people for who they are, God's children, and stop us from truly listening to them. And so we've talked about the importance of hearing other voices, how to listen to others, how to respect others, how to affirm and act for and with others, how to show mercy and show empathy, and so that we can all come to know God more fully. So what we're going to learn today is that we cannot truly listen to or act or love all of God's children if we do not also affirm how God sees all of us. And without affirming one another in all our fullness, God cannot be fully revealed and known to us. There's this old joke that you've probably heard before. It's about a man who arrives at the gates of heaven. And St. Peter asks him, religion? And the man says, Methodist. And St. Peter looks at his list then and says, okay, go to room 24, but be very quiet as you walk past room 8, please. So another man arrives at the gates of heaven, and again, St. Peter asks, religion? Lutheran. Okay, go to room 18, but be very quiet as you pass room 8. A third man arrives at the gates, religion? Presbyterian. Okay, go to room 11, but be very quiet as you walk past room 8, please. And the man says, you know, I can understand there being different rooms for different denominations, but why must I be quiet when I walk past room 8? And St. Peter says, well, the Baptists are in room 8 and they think they're the only ones here. Of course, it could be any other denomination too. I don't want to pick on the Baptists, okay? No. I know that. That's why I said it. That's why I disqualified.
And I would tell you right. That's why I'm not Baptist.
I'm still Baptist.
All right, so can you think of a time when being with persons who were different from you allowed you to experience and know God in a different and in a deeper way? I remember when I was in seminary, I had the belief that only organ music was an acceptable way to worship God in church. And then I visited, you know, a few mega churches and I saw their incredible bands and they're awesome singers and how they lead worship and how enthusiastic people are to sing. And it kind of opened up a whole new way for me of worshiping God with the kind of music that I really like best, to be honest, that I listen to every day, the kind of music that speaks to me personally. I know it's not the same for everybody, but, you know, that was me. I remember in 1995 when... Man, it seems so long ago, 1995. But when I started a year of clinical pastoral education at the Methodist Hospital in Brooklyn, and how narrow my understanding of God's presence in this world and in others was, and how by being in a group with people of different religious backgrounds, different cultures, and ministering to a whole diverse group of patients in the hospital, how that allowed me to understand how I have been trying to fit our almighty and omnipotent and omniscient God into a little box of my own making. It's easy to get comfortable with our own way of worshiping. It's convenient to stick to our own experiences of God. It's easy to get comfortable with knowing God in our own narrow way. But it only gives us a limited view of who God is. It says in verses 9 and 10, after this, I saw a large crowd with more people than could be counted. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands as they shouted, "Our God who sits upon the throne has the power to save his people, and so does the Lamb." And I want you to carefully look at this verse, because it specifically highlights that the multitude represents every nation, every tribe, all people, all languages. They're all standing before the throne of God proclaiming the same message. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Of course, it was Jesus. And the angels and the elders are praising this diversity. We're known as the community church, but we're a congregation of the Reformed Church in America, or the RCA for short. And I'm not sure how much you know about the RCA, but it's the oldest Protestant denomination in the United States with a continuous ministry, the oldest. We might not be the largest denomination out there. As a matter of fact, we're one of the smallest denominations. But the makeup of the denomination is changing. And what's great about this change in the RCA is that it is increasingly diverse and living into this vision in Revelation 7:9. Of a great multitude from every nation, from every tribe, all peoples and languages. And this vision and picture that is painted here in Revelation 7:9 is becoming a current and hopeful reality for the Reformed Church. Because across Canada and the U.S., women and men of varying racial and ethnic identities are finding a home in the Reformed Church. A place where they feel they belong. Even networks from Central and South American countries are identifying with Reformed theology and exploring the Reformed Church as a denominational home. In verse 13, one of the elders asked, "Do you know who these people are that are dressed in white robes? Do you know where they come from?" The answer, these are the ones who have gone through the great suffering. They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and have made them white. So this is not a physical or a literal whiteness, okay? I mean, they've been washed in blood, after all. It simply represents the oneness and purity of all of them. White robes signify the one baptism that incorporates all into the community of Christ. True and ultimate redemption in Jesus is what gathers all people from everywhere, every language, before the throne of God and Jesus in heaven. So it is inclusive. It is not exclusive. And this is what the prophet Zechariah pointed to when he shared what God had said. "I will call my people and gather them together. I will save them and they will grow in numbers as they grew in number before." And this passage in Revelation also points to Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament and the beginning of the church, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. It was an inclusive community of all God's children, Jew, Gentile, men, women, children. And so the point is this. Salvation does not belong to any particular group or what they do to maintain their group identity. Salvation is not Reformed or Catholic or baptism. Salvation is not American or African or Asian. Salvation is not blue or red or purple. Salvation belongs to God and God alone. And we and all others are simply recipients of God's grace. And because God is merciful to us, we show mercy to others. Because we receive God's grace, we give grace to others. You see, it's not our sameness that unites the community of God. Unity is based on the love of God in Christ alone. And so there's no need to erase our differences. We can celebrate our differences. We can appreciate our diversity. So as I end this series called I See You, I pray that God's Spirit will work in you and in me. So we're able to see others in their full humanity. Not as red apples, or green apples, or yellow apples, but as apples. See them as God's beloved children, created just like you and me, in God's image. And that you will be open to listen to other voices, especially those on the side of the road, those who are living on the margins. We don't always have a voice. And that you will not only listen, but also act. Do something about the needs God makes you aware of. Remember, we can't necessarily change the world, but we can change someone's world. And that you will show empathy to the stranger and to the foreigner, because you were once a foreigner to God until Jesus reconciled you with the Father. And ultimately, what's more important is that our true identity is not that we're Republican or independent or Democrat. We're not red or blue or purple. We are white. We've been washed white in the blood of Jesus. We're all God's children through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Different faces, different races, He made us one. Jesus taught us how to be a family, loving one another with the love that He gives. And so during this time of election tension and in a country that is divided, let us celebrate our unity in Christ by honoring the differences. Different people, different languages, different cultures, different ways of doing ministry, different styles of music, different views on politics, diverse people with one vision because of Christ's love. We don't have to lean on sameness to feel like a community. We can shift to a celebration of difference in unity, regardless of who wins the election. That's what will enable us to see a fuller picture of God, as well as God in each other. That's how I see you. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. We need your grace. We need your love. We need your spirit in these difficult times of division, where differences are highlighted all the time, and the oneness we have in you gets neglected. Let us celebrate our differences, our diversity, knowing that we're one family in God through Jesus Christ. I pray that you will bless this country with peace, with harmony, with acceptance, with tolerance, with love. May your spirit be upon us and all. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.